time. Oh, yeah. Home of the wildest. Yo. We only do extendo. Yo, yo, yo. Real good Kenzo. Yeezy on my feet. My name from the
This is Peter Holzapfel, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
The Radio Witch Moon Hotline is a recurring broadcast series created by Jess Spear, Wavefarm's 2020-2021 Radio Artist Fellow. Spear writes, quote, "We are constantly surrounded by waves, vibrations, transmissions, traveling invisibly through and around us and carrying messages, information, 24-hour news feeds, talk shows, rock shows, data streams, conspiracy theories, sad songs, bad songs, operating systems, all of them whizzing around us. How many bummer vibes have passed through your home today, even without being picked up by a receiver? This is your chance to participate in a counterspell and leave good vibes. Call in at 518-302-6067 to be part of the Radio Witch Moon Hotline broadcast at 3:30 p.m. November 15th at WGXC. Again, that number is 518-302-6067. Call in with your good vibes and hear them on the radio 3:30 p.m. November 15th at WGXC.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Blanche Mackey Photography of Craryville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Stand the rain against my window, bringing back sweet memories. Yeah, window pane, do you remember how sweet it used to be?
song haunting me.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student at Columbia Green Community College, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Nico. I am from Brooklyn, and I'm homeschooling this year.
I am Lena, and I am also from Hudson. Yay!
Woo, woo, woo. And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate,
bookish things.
And that's what we're going to do today. Hooray.
Yay.
Yay.
I know. What if one day we just didn't talk, we refused to talk about books? Could happen.
Interesting.
I feel like that'd be difficult.
Like, this show is now called Bound by Snacks, and we all talk about our favorite
bread.
Snacks.
Bread.
But no, we're going to talk about books. We can talk about snacks another day. But yeah.
Okay.
Who wants to get us started? How about...
I guess I could start.
Yeah. Great.
So I'm going to be reading The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn in American Literature. Which sounds like it's going to be fun and interesting. So that should be cool. And, well, I don't know. I haven't had a lot of time to read between, like, school and everything. I have a list of books I'm already making for, like, Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
It seems a little early for Christmas.
I don't know. Some people turn to Christmas as soon as Halloween's over. They, like, skip right over Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I like to let Thanksgiving have its time.
Mm-hmm.
There's this one book I want, which is called The Secret Language of Birthdays by Gary Goldschneider and Juice Elfers, which talks about birthdays and like how the stars and planets looked on the day you were born or in what the month you were born might have in significance to you. It's all a bunch of like astrology style stuff and personality profile things, but it sounds very cool.
Yeah, I remember looking at those when I was, I think in high school, is when I first found that book and finding it really fascinating and loving to like look up people's birthdays, and read what it said about them and try to figure out how accurate it was.
Mm-hmm.
But fun fact, I hope you really like the book, but The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn was one of the few books that I read in my life that I just like really did not enjoy. But I think it was partly, it was in high school. And I think part of it was about the speed at which we were reading it and perhaps the particular time in which we were reading it. Because I know plenty of people love that book. And I don't know, I just couldn't get into it at the time. It was the one time in my life that I've used a Cliff Notes to help me with my homework. But I did a lot of research. So what I did was I would read the Cliff Notes so I could follow along with what, figure out what happened. And then we had to write these like journal entries for, I don't know if it was by chapter or how, or if it was by section. And so I would read the Cliff Notes and then decide what I wanted to write my journal entry on. And then I would go back to the text and like read the parts that I needed to read to write my journal entries. So I actually ended up reading a good deal of the book anyways, but that's the one time I ever used one of those.
Mm.
But hopefully you'll enjoy it more in a college course as opposed to my high school course.
Yeah.
I know people love Mark Twain. Someday I should give him another chance, read something else.
Yeah. I think anything is going to be better than Walden by Thoreau, so.
I hope so. So, Nico, how about you? What book did you want to talk about?
I wanted to talk about a book. It's more like a project book, and it is called Mason Jar Science, and all of the experiments in here involve mason jars. So some of my favorites are the wide world of slimes. It's like you can make goo and slime and like dough, and that one's cool. And then there's like a like it's called a jararanium.
Hmm.
And it's like you plant some seeds inside the jar, and then they grow, and it's like a little thing, like a little display that you can put in different places. Then there's cornstarch quicksand, which is quicksand made out of cornstarch. And then there's a balloon about what?
I'm curious how well the quicksand works. Like, do you put a toy in it and watch it?
Oh. Then you put your hand in it. Because it's in, like, either a mason jar or a container. Mm-hmm. And, well, you mix up the stuff in a mason jar, so it'd probably be in, like, a wide, like, container where you put your hand in. It sinks. And there's a balloon barometer, which, like, predicts the weather according, like, to... Well, this is a description under it. Here's a fact that might make your eyes bug out. The weight of all the air that's stacked above you puts 14.7 pounds of pressure on every square inch of your body. We don't notice the air pressure except when we travel to higher places where the pressure is lower. We ride in elevators or, say, fly in airplanes and feel the change in ours. So it's like the air pressure building up to, like, kind of predict the weather.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. That one's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I had fun this summer. Every once in a while, I would, like, accidentally break off a piece of a plant, like either a flower before it had bloomed or a piece of a tomato plant. And if you just, like, stick the end of it in a jar with some water, you can, like, grow some more. So I had a sprig of a tomato plant I put in, and then it grew all these little cherry tomatoes that I could eat. And then I had a piece of a zinnia that was just like a little bulb. And it put it in a jar in the window, and it bloomed. It wasn't like as vibrant as one that was in the yard, but it bloomed for a really long time. So that was fun. That sounds really cool. I want to make some quicksand.
I had a bunch of those little, like, experiment books. I loved those. I think I like to, because back when I had long hair, I like to rub balloons against my head and have my hair just poof out. I think that's the only thing I ever did with them, but it was still very fun.
That is very fun. How about you, Lena? Did you have a book you wanted to share?
Yes, this one is one that we're reading in class. It's called Esperanza Rising. And so I'm just going to read the back for you. Riches to rags. Esperanza believed her life would be wonderful forever. She would always live on her family's ranch in Mexico. She would always have fancy dresses and a beautiful home filled with servants. Papa and Abuela would always be with her. But a sudden tragedy shatters her world and forces Esperanza and Mama to flee to California, where they settle in a camp for Mexican farm workers. Esperanza isn't ready for the hard labor, financial struggles brought on by the Great Depression and lack of acceptance she now faces when Mama gets sick and the strike for better working condition threatens to uproot their new life. Esperanza must find a new way to rise above her difficult circumstances because Mama's life and her own depend on it.
That sounds really, really good.
Yeah, but, like, I kind of wish, like, I could go ahead more. Because, like, so far, to me, I kind of find it pretty boring so far.
I understand what you mean. I've had that happen to me before with a Nancy Drew mystery. They were just looking for someone, and they just kept looking for that person and looking for that person. I was just so bored. I was like, hurry up and find her.
Yeah, but, like, I guess if it does get interesting, I'm pretty sure it, like, gets it interesting in, like, the middle or the end. But, like, it probably just starts out slow.
Probably.
And if it still doesn't appeal to me, either it's probably just because of the storyline, because I'm not used to realistic fiction kind of stuff. Because, like, I like fantasy and that kind of stuff.
Me too. But, well, only a couple of books that I like are realistic fiction.
Yeah.
I prefer more fantasy-based genres as well.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure most of us like fantasy more than the real world and life.
Exactly.
Yes.
Well, I hope you enjoy reading that book. I know you're struggling with it a little bit. Enjoying it, that is.
Yeah.
It gets better for you.
Yeah, but it's probably just because we actually have to communicate with my other, well, I have to communicate with my other fellow classmates, and I honestly don't like communicating with them.
Oh, so is this a school-assigned book?
Yes, it was a school-assigned book.
And oh.
Yeah, because if it wasn't, I would probably not be reading this.
That's a mood. I can understand that.
Yes. But, like, I can't just, like, do what Emily did with, like, her flip note thing, because we have to actually take tests in person, because, like, I go to class in person. We have to, like, take tests. Like, oh, what did Esperanza do in this chapter? And, like, I don't think you could get away with, haha, I just used flip note thing that Emily used.
Which I used once, and I don't suggest.
I don't know if I ever told you guys the story. I probably have, because it's a story I tell a lot. But a lot of my friends know that I hate the Percy Jackson book series. And the reason I hate it so much is because I read the first one as an assigned book. And maybe that would have been fine. Maybe I could have been normal and loved the books like everyone else seems to. But they would assign us vocab quizzes. And you'd have to go through the chapter and find all the vocabulary words. Except they, on multiple occasions, messed up and gave us vocab words that weren't in the chapter that was assigned. Like, it would be in the very next chapter, so we would spend hours each night looking for a vocab word in chapter 9, when it wasn't even, like, chapter 9, it was in chapter 10. I hated it.
Oh,
at least absolutely awful. I hate those books now.
Oh my god, I feel so bad for you, but that doesn't happen with me. It's probably just because, like, there are, like, oddly specific students, like, because sometimes we share our answers with each other, and I'm over here, like, crying, like, oh my god, I just gave a really simple answer to the question. I'm probably going to fail. And, like, I'm probably the first one to finish, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm just going to add on. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, everyone says the Percy Jackson movies are very bad because they aren't faithful to the book. Well, I think both of them are bad. I think both of them are mediocre, so I can agree and disagree.
Oh, well, I just feel bad for you, because you would have to spend hours probably, like, looking in those books while I'm over here just, like, but, like, the problem with it, with my case is probably that, like, is probably just because, like, I would read it, and then, like, there would be something that I don't think is in the chapter. And, like, people would throw me off with what they say. And then I would get really confused.
So I have a funny story about that. A long time ago, it was probably only a couple years ago, I read Of Mice and Men for school, something that you'll probably have to read eventually one day. But I hate it when books write accents. Like, when they put all the, like, little apostrophes, like, above the words in places of, like, letters that should be there, so that, like, it has, like, it sounds like they're speaking with, like, a southern accent. They did that a ton. They did that a ton in, Of Mice and Men, and there was a quiz question, I remember, that asked, what did Curly's wife want to be? She wanted to be an actress. That was her deal. She wanted to be an actress. Except the way they said this was in the chapter, she says something along the lines of, I could have been in pictures someday, but they spell pictures as pitchers, as in what you use to carry water. And I had no idea what that meant. So I got the question wrong. They could have just written pictures, like, it's pictures are supposed to be written.
but they didn't. And I was confused and I got that question wrong and it made me really mad.
Oh my god, I feel so bad for you. Like, why did you have to write it with with an accent? Like,
No, I didn't have to write it with an accent. I just didn't know what she was saying.
Yeah, but like,
she said I could have been in pictures someday. And I thought she was referring to the thing you used to carry drinks. So I didn't know what that meant.
Oh.
So I just made up a random answer that wasn't right.
Oh my god, I still feel so bad for you because, like, you didn't understand what she was saying. And then they were over here like, huh, I have an idea. Let's just write pictures. Like, you know, the thing that you, like, pour drinks from. But, like, sometimes I would be super confused because they would write something in Spanish. And I'm not very good with reading in Spanish or speaking it. And they would just, like, write another sentence. And my teacher would be like, oh, they translate it in the next sentence. And I'm like, I hope that, like, what they wrote here, like, in a one sentence, they say, like, the Valancros, I think is how you pronounce it. I don't think it's how you pronounce it. And, like, it put something random, like, the workers or something like that. I can't remember. And then I was like, I really hope it says that word, because then I'm probably going to get the quiz question wrong if it doesn't say that.
Yeah. Quizzes are weird sometimes.
Yeah.
One thing I figured out with books that have that writing where they make the writing look like how it sounds, I also have trouble reading that. And even sometimes with fantasy books, when there's just like so many made up names that I don't really know how to pronounce, I find that audiobooks are really helpful because it's easier to hear the words as like what the meaning is than it is to try to decode them visually. So I've had that help in some circumstances with books. But the book that I wanted to talk about this week, I had no trouble with that. I read a book that's written for adults, but I think it is appropriate for at least teens. And probably there's some language that people might object to, but aside from that, I think it would be fine for younger readers too. But it is called Solutions and Other Problems by Ali Brosh. And it is the follow-up book to her 2013 book that was called Hyperbole and a Half, Unfortunate Situations, Flawed Coping Mechanisms, Mayhem, and Other Things That Happened. And so for people that were big fans of that book, it's been about a 7-year wait for a new book from her. But for me, I didn't actually get around to reading that book until December. So for me, it was a very short wait. So yay for reading a book way past release date. But it is a book of sort of short stories or essays about various things in her life. It jumps like all over time from like when she was a kid to when she's an adult to like more recent. Yeah, so to more recent times as well. And it's sort of a mix of like autobiography and graphic novel and essay book, but it's not a graphic novel in the sense that it doesn't just work within panels. It also has like writing and just straight on images. And I'll show you some examples of the art just so you have a sense of what it looks like. They're like very like kind of goofy looking.
I've seen this person's work before. I love this art. I love this author. I love that. Their drawings are so funny.
Yeah, it's interesting too because she draws herself as in this very like unrealistic way where she has really like stick arms with like three little fingers on each hand. And she's got sort of like these huge eyes and her ponytail is just this like yellow thing shooting off of her head. But then there's other characters in the book, like she'll have like her parents or people she runs into or her boyfriend who look more like real people. So it's really funny. She'll be like sitting on the couch with her boyfriend and her dogs and she's like this funny little creature and then like the boyfriend kind of looks like a human. But it's an interesting book. I love both of them. I think I maybe liked the first one a little bit more, but I loved this one too. And I just like the way that she balances like talking about like serious things and like mental health issues or feelings of loneliness or loss. But then it's also like, there's just moments where I was laughing out loud, which I don't often do when I read. But yeah, it's very interesting and fun read. I also like the back of the book. I had just noticed when we sat down to do the show. It has this little part where it says, "This is a book. To answer any additional questions, you may have a brief Q&A with," I think it says with the author, because it got covered by a sticker. So I don't know. And then there's a little picture. It says, "Summary of information so far. Person, think, do, make, say, etc. Book is done. There are questions?" Person responds, "Yes, good." And then there's a Q&A here. So question, "Hello, why did you do this?" Answer, "Because I had some things I wanted to say, ideas and stuff. But you can't just say your ideas, so I did stories with my ideas secretly lurking inside them. Hopefully it was not too sneaky of me to do this. I promise they're real stories. It's just that some of my ideas are also secretly present, and everybody who reads the book will need to deal with that. I'm trying to be more assertive." Question, "You say you did this because you wanted to say things, but we noticed that you also drew 1,678 pictures. Answer, "Yes, not good pictures, but there are 1,678 of them." Question, "What are the pictures of?" Answer, "I don't like being this confrontational, but I'm not going to describe all of the pictures. That's why they're pictures, so I don't have to describe them." Question, "But how will people know what to expect if you don't describe the pictures?" Answer, "They just have to trust me." Question, "They can trust you?" Answer, "Yeah." Question, "Can you at least tell them a few things that are in the pictures? Like maybe put a list of objects or say what the average picture is of, or maybe what kind of picture the book would be if it was a picture?" Answer, "Lamp, dog, sun, walls, mom, dad, potato, universe, tragedy plus comedy equals time, ants, ed note, no answer depicted in the book, sun, time, two balloons, mom, cat, bag, computer, face, mistake, the government, editor's note, the government is also not directly depicted in the book, man, sand, bird, ideas, stereo. Average picture is brown and squiggly with eyes. The book would be a picture of a book." Question, "That was very helpful, thank you." Answer, "No problem, glad I could help." So that gives you a sense of the book. I actually do think there were ants in the book.
What was that book called?
It's called Solutions and Other Problems by Ali Brosh. And it is a book intended for adults, but I think it's appropriate for at the very least teens. And I think it would be fine for other readers as well, as long as they're okay with the occasional curse word. But yeah, so that's what I just finished today on my day off. Woo! It's been on my to-read list since it came out. I finally got to it. And now I have to decide what to read next. I'm finishing an audiobook, but I have to figure out the next like print book to read. And I have a couple in mind because I have Class Act, the new Jerry Craft at home. I might do that next. Or I have that Tim Tingle book that I talked about last week, When a Ghost Talks, Listen. So I think one of those will be my next print book to read. Does anyone else have anything they're looking forward to reading?
I'm still looking forward to reading that book I got from my friend from Salem. I think that should be interesting to check out.
Yeah, the book with the really long title.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to just like check out When Stars Are Scattered. I really like autobiography, like graphic novels and just like graphic novels in general. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, that was a really good book.
I'm probably going to have to go to the library and check one out. Or don't you guys have like a site online or something like that?
We do.
Or are we?
We have a
couple. Are we allowed to go in person?
Yeah, so you can both like come and browse at the library and pick out books. There's also ebooks that you can get online with your library card, and you can also. There's the online catalog, which you can get to through our website, that you can kind of look and see what's in there. Like you can do a search for a subject or an author that you like, or a keyword.
Oh, okay.
Some new stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, pick out some new books. Great. Well, it was lovely talking books with you all again this week. Hope everyone out there listening has a wonderful week with